Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 100 Year Real Estate Investor. We're your host, Jake and Gino, and this is the show dedicated to long-term personal financial engineering. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing great today. How are you doing?
Always making it happen, big man. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into our roadmap for creating wealth, our wealth roadmap. Now, we believe that doing the right actions consistently over the long term is a huge driver in wealth outcomes for individuals. But what are those steps and how can you track your progress? That's what the GDAD's for. That's where the G Papa Funk comes in. So, Gino, how do the folks get started on creating wealth?
Jake, you always put a smile onto my face when you call me the G-Papa Funk. I don't know why. It's just
a good name.
I'm just not used to it yet. You've been saying it for 5 years. You figured I'd get used to it by now. And everybody out there, wealth building, what I've learned over the last decade or so, it's really a mindset. What Jake and I really want to really discuss on this is we think rich people, they sell assets. Wealthy people hold assets. We're all about the 100-year brand. It's all about long-term thinking, long-term planning. That's the first thing I think we should discuss when you're trying to create wealth. It's all about that mindset. It's all about what you want to do. What is the end in mind? That's why with Jake and Gino, we discussed investing in decades. You're buying an asset. Look for it in decades. Where is it going to be 10 years from now? Is it going to be in the right market? Are you going to be happy with owning it in 10 years from now? Because what we've seen when we bought our first asset, what we call NOI, net operating income, over the last decade, it has exploded. It has created wealth for us. And in one of these steps, we're going to be discussing tax situations on top of that. So the first step is really produce at your W-2 job or business to earn and save money. Save that additional income to invest. Now, I was fortunate that I had a small business for the vast majority of my life. I did okay with it. But if I had not saved that money and started investing it in other assets, I'd still be working at that restaurant and I'd still be grinding it out. So I want everyone to really write this down and really think about this. Is your money working hard for you or are you working hard for your money? Now, if you're working hard for your money, that's okay. But I want you to start transitioning into thinking, how can you have your money work hard for you? That's what wealthy people are constantly thinking about. That's what's the driving force behind Jake and I creating these videos and creating these lessons about wealth. What are you doing with that earned income? Are you going out and having a party? Or are you investing that money for the long term?
You know, I want to go back to what you said about thinking in decades. And you gave me this thought and maybe it was like an epiphany I just had where I may have a genetic advantage and you may have a genetic advantage as to why this stuff works for us because we're okay going 2 to 5 years, you know, literally 0 to 2 and then 2 to 5, maybe not making shit. There's been a lot of times where you and I have started businesses and we have made zero zilch for the first 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most people can do that. I don't think they're willing to do that. So I don't know why that's okay for us, but it's ultimately been the best thing for us. And I guarantee most people out there are not willing to do that. So it's almost easy for us in a way because we may be like predisposed to being okay with that and thinking long-term.
Well, yeah, no, what happened was we did it with our real estate and we saw the success. I mean, after year two on our first deal, we were able to withdraw 3 times the amount of money that we put into it. And I remember talking to you about refi and roll in the very beginning.
But we started 2 years before that. We didn't see shit for those first. So it was like 3 years, you know?
Yeah, but once we saw that, it was like, okay. And I think we have been brought up that we are not all about the instant gratification. I was able to be able to defer my gratification. I never used credit cards young. I wasn't on the internet when I was younger. So for me, delaying that gratification is one thing that I really harp on with my children. If you can't afford it, maybe you shouldn't be buying it. I always classify, you know, furniture, clothes, homes, vacations, those are luxuries. I am not going into debt for a luxury. Okay. I'm going to put that money aside. And when I have that money saved, I go out and I buy that luxury.
Hold on. There was a point five to that. So I just want to get this because literally most people are not willing to wait. And then the money comes over time. And then the second part is that they do get into it, right? They do get into a multifamily asset. And then they end up selling it in 2 or 3 years because it ran up a little bit. That's the other huge mistake. So we've stayed in 90% of our deals from the time we bought them. We've just refied them and carried them. And now 10, 11, 12 years into these deals, some of them, it's like, holy shit, we got in at 30, 40, 50,000 a door. And now the thing's worth 130. But most people would have said, oh, it doubled. I'm a badass. I'm going to sell at 70,000 a door. To your first point, what was the first thing you said?
Rich people sell and wealthy people hold.
Boom, shakalaka, G-Papa Funk. You got two today. We're ringing the bell. So think about this, gang. Some of this stuff is not like crazy rocket science, but it's not easy to pull off. You got to be willing to hang in there. You got to be willing to swallow shit for 2 or 3 years and not make money in your business. And then I truly believe that if you're willing to hold long-term, you're going to really see tremendous gains. That's been my personal experience. Challenge yourself. I'm challenging you right now.
So we got one and 1.5. This is number two. After you're making money and you have a little success in your W-2, your business, begin to educate yourself and start investing and start changing that mindset. It's education times action equals results. This is the part where you start educating.
And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll chill out. The biggest problem in society right now is victimhood. And I tell you right now, I was on the Facebook earlier and someone put up this post. Why is no one hire? Where's all the workers? Why does no one want to work? And then someone's comment was, oh, you have to get degrees and you have to get certifications. It was the meekest, most pathetic piece of shit I've ever seen in my entire life. Oh, you got to go get some kind of certification. First of all, that's bullshit. And second of all, it's such a victim outlook on life. You might as well go jump off a building because there's no chance in trying if that's your outlook. So you got to get off the victim train because it's pathetic. That is the biggest thing. Take full responsibility for all the outcomes that come into your life. Everything that happens, that alone, you know, if you can figure that out, you're done. You're going to be successful. You're on the path. So I'm done. I'm shutting up the rest of the time.
Joseph, we had like 10 steps. We got like 22 steps now. That's 2.5 right there. Cause that's a really important one. A responsibility, be a responsibility junkie. After that, join mastermind groups, communities, attend events, start putting some skin in the game, start going out. Pick a niche. If you want to get into multifamily, go all in on multifamily. If you want self-storage, go all in. If you want to trade crypto, go all in. If you want to buy whole life and sell whole life, go all in. Just learn one of those niches and really one of those vehicles, I should say, and just go all in on that. Number four, which I really like, is become a producer, not a consumer.
Yes.
Think about that. And that is huge. That's what I had my mindset. My immigrant mindset was I needed to produce. Go to work and be a producer. Not always think about spending money, but creating wealth and creating value. Once you create value, you're going to have money coming towards you and those opportunities towards you. Then you can start thinking about consuming. But if you have the opposite mentality, which the vast majority of the middle class and the lower middle class does, remember it's the mindset, what happens? You get your money in, you don't invest in other assets. Your money's not working hard for you. You're working hard for your money. And is there a perpetual wheel, that W-2 rat race wheel that we've all been on. And I hate that. That's soul sucking. This is my passion for you to start thinking differently and getting off of that roller coaster or that whatever wheel you want to call it. The next one, purchase assets that produce a yield. This to me is important because if I'm investing in assets and I'm only looking to speculate, buying it A and selling a B, and there's no dividend yield, there's no yield. I mean, what am I doing? I mean, I need the equity. Great. If you buy an asset for a dollar and you sell it for $2, you got that dollar, right? But you're still always playing that cap appreciation game. We love multifamily because not only does it appreciate, but we're also getting a yield off of that asset. Truly, truly important. The next
hold
one.
Hold on.
Holy break,
quick,
bro.
Real quick. Assets over liabilities, responsibility over victimhood. That's all we got to say. We're done. Hashtag. But carry on.
The next one is important. Get into a better tax position. And my dad always told me, it's not what you make, everybody. It's what you keep. Once you get into a better tax position, everything changes for you. I mean, cost segregation. I want you all to look it up if you've never heard of it before. It's macro accelerated cost recovery system. Jake and I, we employ it with multifamily. It's an amazing tax benefit. And what I love about it is all the entrepreneurs out there, you know what I'm talking about. You're the ones creating jobs. That's why you hear that Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, they don't pay taxes. You know why? Because the tax code is written to stimulate behavior. And the ones who create value are the ones who are getting better tax breaks. And that's just the reality. You can love the game. You can hate the game. That's the game. Learn the game. There are no tax loopholes. Go open the tax code. There's over 70,000 pages. If you don't want to read it, find somebody who's qualified. Let them help you out. But I guarantee you, do you want to work until May 15th for the government? And then May 15th comes and then money's yours. Think about that. That's painful, everybody. So learn the tax code and learn the rules of money. And once you can start conquering those rules, the more money you keep, that means the more money you can continue to invest in your deals. Huge. I'm going to the next one. Reinvest the yield into other assets. This is what Jake and I have coined, refi and roll. Now, talk about beautiful. You're able to take money out of a property once it's depreciated. You refinance the property. It's technically a loan to you. You are not paying any taxes on that money the day you pull it out. You go and you reinvest that money into another deal. When I refied my first property, by the way, we've refinanced over $25 million on our portfolio, but that very first property, it was $165,000. I remember getting that check and going, do you know how many pizzas I need to make in a year to make 165 grand? And I just got it on a refi and roll in one shot. I was thrilled. It was ecstatic. To me, it was life-changing. To me, it was like free money. It was 165 grand.
And it was tax-free.
And exactly. I needed to make 250 or 300 to keep 165. It was revolutionary to me. I was hooked on multifamily. I'm like, how do I buy more and how do I get more? But the important thing, remember, that's the yield. That's the money we come in. I didn't go buy the Lambo. I went and I put it into our next deal. And if you continue to do that, that long-termism, man, it starts going. You start feeling it. And all of a sudden your physiology changes, your mindset changes. And you're like, where do I get more? Next one, whew, pay off all personal debt to create that snowball. And if you out there have this debt on your balance sheet, let's know the difference between personal debt and business debt. Business debt is great. Let's lever the business side of your balance sheet to pay for the personal side. Credit cards, all that stuff. Listen, Jake and I, we've even gone down to the point where our personal homes, we have no mortgages on our personal homes. We have lines of credit if we ever want to get them. But, and I know a lot of you out there are saying, hey, I can leverage my home and put it into another deal. And listen, I've done that on our third asset. I needed a ton of money. I got a home equity line on my house. At the time, pulled the money out. And that deal was a life changer because that deal, we refinanced almost $2 million out of that deal, I remember. And if I had not bought that third deal, I probably wouldn't be here right now. But I leveraged my home equity line to buy an asset, not to go on vacation, not to fix the basement, to put it into an asset that was yielding a cash flow every month. And that mortgage payment that I had, that line of credit that I was paying, the asset was more than enough taking care of it. And then when I was able to refinance it out, I pulled the money out, paid off the home equity line of credit, boom shakalaka.
Remember when you brought the Robert Kiyosaki cash flow game over to my house?
Yes.
This is how I beat you. It was the first time we ever played. And I literally got my burn down to like nothing. And I rolled like a lease option or something up. And then I was like off to the races. But it was like, no, I mean, it was, dude, I reduced the expense and it was all gravy on top of that. So It's a very great point.
Love that. That was fun. The next one, Jake, is just keep snowball rolling and move to something that's more, I guess, fulfilling for your soul. How else can I say it? For me, that snowball rolling, you just keep buying these assets. They keep printing money. They keep producing yield.
Dreams of purpose, as the G-Daddy once wrote.
And that's a great way to put it. I couldn't get it out because what happened was we ended up creating Jake and Gino. That's one of my streams of purpose. Rank Cares is another stream of purpose. And, you know, the more streams of purpose you can create, the more opportunity you have. I mean, the amazing opportunities that me and you have had with Jake and Gino, it's been amazing. We've been life-changing for a lot of our students. Almost 100 of our students have quit their W-2 jobs. Over 43,000 units purchased to date by our student community. That's great and all, but that's a stream of purpose for me because I'm having impact on other people's lives. But more importantly, I'm learning from our student base as well. And I'm going out to these events. I'm getting energized. It is giving me purpose and impact. So start thinking about that snowball that continues to roll. All of a sudden, life is not all about you. It's about thinking about giving back and making impact on our lives and being really grateful for the opportunity to become financially free. And what do we do with that financial freedom? That's the only question you can ask yourself. I thought, move to Florida, go live on a beach, end the story. That got boring after 2 days, my friends. So think about the end game. Once you do retire and become financially free, because if you follow these steps right here, you will. become financially free, what's the next step for you out
there? Yeah. And I think everybody just getting organized in your life, having your weeks dialed in, planning your weeks out. And then the night before, you know, still after, I don't know how 10, 15 years I've been doing this stupid card stock, knowing where I'm going. I don't have to think, wake up, I follow the yellow brick road. And before I go to bed, I give the subconscious a little taste. What's going on tomorrow? I read it. Oh, that's reasonable. Ah, now I sleep well at night. Just the way it goes, man. Little things like that make a huge difference, G-Dad.
Jake, let me run through these 7 tips I have right here for everybody, especially if you're just starting off and you're younger. The first one, this may sound boring, but guess what, everybody? Wealth creation is boring. Making money is boring. Investing should be boring to create wealth. The very first one, you need to create a home budget. I don't care what anybody says. Mm-hmm. When you create a home budget and you're taking control, not only of your expenses, but what are you doing on the income side? If you're a salesperson, are you making more calls, right? Are you selling more widgets at your business, whatever that looks like? Once you create a home budget, you are going to be saving on average 17 to 20%, as Mr. Dave Ramsey says. Love him about the home budget. Everything else I could really care less about, but honing in a home budget, if you're making $1,000 a week, and I could tell you, you make a home budget, you're going to take home an additional $170 a week. Think about that. It's an extra 10 grand a year that you'll be able to save. So create that home budget. Number two, what Jake just said, plan your weeks, plan your days, plan them out. And that is a discipline in the beginning. But you know what? When Jake wakes up in the morning, he doesn't have to run around thinking about what he has to do. He's on autopilot. He looks, his day is scheduled. No thought process, no mental anguish.
I freak out without it.
Well, you're so used to it now. But yeah. Those of you, I challenge you out there. Plan your
weeks.
Exactly. Number three, create yearly goals. Start thinking about what your yearly goals looks like. You're going to overestimate what you can accomplish in a year, but vastly underestimate what you can accomplish in 5 or even 10 years. So go out there, plan these goals. Think about what your life is going to look like 3 years from now, or what you want to look like 5 years from now. Creating goals is vastly important. The next one, put aside an emergency fund of at least $1,000. Have $1,000 sitting around. If something happens, car breaks down, air conditioner, you don't have to stress out. That money's there. You can pull it out. Once you use it, replenish it. The next one, put 3 to 6 months of income aside. And what I would do is I would open up a whole life account, get whole life insurance, start funding it, and think of that as your bank. Because what happens is when you put money in a savings account in the bank, it's so easy to touch. You go out there, I'm going to go on vacation. Man, I like that shirt. I'm going to go buy that shirt.
That's a nice looking shirt, dude. That shit wasn't cheap. I know that.
You like that, bro? And that's what I'm saying. I love whole life. I've had them for years. I've got them on my kids right now. It's a great way for me to cash manage. If something truly does happen, I can borrow the policy. And then when I'm done with it, we call it the dual asset strategy. I can pay it back. Any way you want to do it, bank, whole life policy, you need to put 3 to 6 months of income, because when something does happen, you won't feel exasperated. You won't make a decision out of fear or out of panic. You'll be able to make one out of empowerment, because you won't have to worry about money for the next 3 to 6 months. The next one, properly insure yourself. I love this from Garrett Gunderson. Insure for the catastrophic, not the consequential. Make sure you've got all your insurances lined up, whether you're doing rental insurance, your car insurances, you know, your life insurances, whatever insurance, make sure you have it. And think of his insurance as that moat around the castle, around all the assets that you own. I know it's a pain in the neck. I hate insurance, but it's there to protect that castle. If you're not protecting that castle, you're making all that work, you can lose something really quickly. And I think the last one that most people don't even really think about, take control of your credit score, especially when you're younger. If you have a low credit score, are you going to be able to rent an apartment? When you go borrow money, it's going to cost you more on interest rates to borrow money. Your car insurance is going to cost you more. Get your credit score up and utilize your credit score. It'll help you save money, especially when you're going out, like I said, getting car insurance or getting loans or whatever that may be. It's really, really important. Go back and listen to those 7 tips. I've done all 7 of them. They've been really, really powerful. And I'm teaching my children all of these tips and all these strategies to become wealthy through the mind. And then once you become wealthy through the mind, become wealthy in every other area of your life.
Wow. G-Dad on fire today. Bringing the Panya, my friend. Well, as they say, I'm Jake. He's the G-Daddy. And we make it happen. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.